This is a gospel story from Luke. He spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above their teacher, but everyone who is trained will be like their teacher. Why do you seek the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not see the beam that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the beam that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First remove the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear corrupt fruit, nor does a corrupt tree bear good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. Workers do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a wild bush. A good person, out of the treasure of their heart, bears what is good, and an evil person, out of the evil treasure of their heart, bears what is evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is Jesus' teachings as told to us by Luke.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The people that Luke was writing for were living in very difficult times. The Romans had conquered their land, many people had been killed, and many were living in fear. Added to that was the fact that the earthly Jesus had not returned to guide them as they thought he would. Most, if not all, the people who knew Jesus were dead at the time of Luke's writing. That's most likely the reason Luke wrote, so that the people would know the ways of Jesus as Luke remembered them, in order to pass on the message of the way of Jesus. New followers were learning stories and the meaning of Jesus' way of life from those who had already lived it. Followers of Jesus' way might live together in community and were kind of responsible for one another as teachers, guides, and disciplinarians. As usual, when people gather, troubles and disagreements begin. Some who were to be the leaders of the group, but they were not as faithful to the message of Jesus' way as they should have been. Some, perhaps the new Greek believers, decided that they needed to be in charge of what was done and what was taught. Some leaders, like Luke, were looking at the group and finding good and evil being done to and by the people of the way. Things were pretty bad, and the remnant, the people who should be following Jesus, were having trouble within themselves. This is where Luke places today's lessons. His descriptions of the wisdom Jesus saying give us such clear pictures. It is like Jesus is showing us photos on his iPhone. Can you see the snapshot of the blind man leading the blind man? The listening crowd may have laughed at the foolishness of that situation. And then there's the one of the student trying to teach the teacher. And here's good fruit growing in the briars. The descriptions are all so clear why everyone should be able to see it. But people then and now prefer to give judgment instead of mercy. If someone made a mistake, Leaders would much rather give them a lecture than compassion. If someone wronged them in some way and then came for forgiveness and mercy, people would rather make them suffer than show understanding. This is the beam in their eye, or the blindness people can't see, finding fault only in others and none in themselves. Right. As I stand here, trying to teach this gospel lesson, the reading hits me very hard. It is as if it was written for me. Good teachers, like good trees, are recognizable by how the fruits of their teaching nourishes others, how their lives illustrate the message that they preach. I know my shortcomings, and I am reminded of my responsibilities, and it weighs heavy. Then, and just as valuable now, is Jesus teaching us about where to look to find guidance to live a life worth living, how to find and be fruitful trees. Anyone who assumes that Jesus is talking to some other person is in fact the person most in need of Jesus' warning in this verse. Most churchgoers, when they read this passage, think of themselves as the one with the speck in their eye, and everybody else as the one with the logs. Most think, I sure wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. They really need it. And the point of Wisdom Jesus' words are to look at yourself first. That's what Jesus is saying. First, remove the plank from your own eye. You are not the one with the speck. You are the one with the plank. Far too many of us love to apply scriptures to everyone else but ourselves. What are we doing? We are becoming eye inspectors, looking for logs in other people's eyes when we have a whole forest in our own. As eye inspectors, inspect yourself first. Look to your own life. Search your own heart. Apply the scriptures to yourself. Personally, I have been so full of anger, sadness, disappointment, and disillusionment in my world. I am not seeing clearly. I question the wisdom of those in leadership who are in charge of the country I love. They seem to be making fools of themselves. They have no idea how things should be, how people and organizations work. They seem to be destroying, changing, dismantling everything I know and love, and they are turning my world upside down. If I question their wisdom, I need to be sure to let the spirit of wisdom enter my thought processes when I speak. I don't need to be an eye doctor who can't get near a patient because I've got a log sticking out of my eye. Jesus is talking about how ridiculous we appear when we assume that we see rightly. My eyes open to see all sides of an issue and its related needs. I became outraged when people who attacked my capital city to overthrow the government and were legally convicted were then pardoned and set free. These people violently worked against our government, for and by the people, in order to have their own way. They were forgiven, pardoned. Removing the beam from my eye enabled me to focus on me and my thoughts and my conclusions. Who is it that I don't want to forgive? Are there people that I believe are unredeemable? What would Jesus do, really, when he was on the cross, suffering more than I could ever imagine? Jesus asked that those who had tortured him to be forgiven. It baffles me, almost beyond my imagination. And I have to ask, who is it that I am being called to forgive? So many have been treated unjustly, dismissed from their jobs without warning, or forced to leave because they believe differently than those in charge. They realize that they may be charged with crimes just for doing their job. We as a country are losing the ones with the most wisdom, the teachers, if you will, of the next generation. Who will fill the gap? What can I do to advance justice and fair labor practices? My heart is heaviest over the idea that there are only two genders, male and female. Those people and companies who once encouraged equality and diversity are setting aside their programs. This will affect two of my six grandchildren. I worry about their future, their lives. What can I do to ease their transitions, to make their spaces safe? There are so many places that someone has used power over, denying help to victims of fire, pulling out of the World Health Organization and aid programs, offering help only if traded for rare earth minerals, not recognizing those born in this country as citizens, leaving them as people without a country, or making decisions, the effects of these decisions, its power over, again and again. God help me not to ever use any position that I may have in order to exert power over others. Do not leave me blind to the injustice and the pain that it causes. I have many more blind spots, many logs of wood, perhaps a whole forest in my eye. Do you know your blind spots? I believe that those we call our enemies always carry our own shadow side, the things we really don't like about ourselves. We will never face our own shadow until we embrace those who threaten us. It's so easy to see the wrong over there, not right here. The people who turn us off usually do so because they carry our own faults in some form or other. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. Once we remember this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. When we look beneath the surface, beneath their impulsive evil deeds, we see within our enemy, who is also our neighbor, a measure of goodness. We might realize that what seems to be viciousness and evilness of their acts are not quite representative of all that they are. We could possibly see them in a new light. We might struggle, but we could possibly do that. Might we recognize that their hate and their actions grow out of fear, pride, ignorance, prejudice, and misunderstandings? We know God's image is etched in their being. Perhaps then we can love our enemies by realizing that they are not totally bad, and they are not beyond the reach of God's redemptive love. They are created in the image and likeness of God. Certainly, myself, and maybe you, must be willing to deal with our own shortcomings before we can deal with the wrongdoings of others. If we can't see our own shortcomings, what makes us think that we can clearly see the wrongs of others? If we can't change our way of relating, why do we think we can change others? Can we learn to work for mercy and not judgment? I think we as humans would rather point out a dozen sins or wrongdoings in the life of someone else than take a long look at the wrongs in our own life. And this is what I hope to change as I begin Lent. Ash Wednesday is but a few days away, and we begin our time of preparation for the mystery that is Holy Week, the Passion, the triumph of the resurrection. The season of Lent is one of preparation, of making right, of reassessing our wrongdoings and coming back to God. I would love to tell you that I am always merciful, and I never look at the speck in my brother's eye while I have a beam in mine. I would love to say that the fruit that you find on my tree is always good and never rotten. We don't come to God by doing it right. We come to God by doing it wrong. I have done enough wrong. I should be at the right-hand side of the divine. Soon, each one of us will have the opportunity to come closer to and receive the divine, the bread and wine that we bless. Now is the time for each of us to examine our own fruit. This is a time for us to look in our hearts and discover when our vision has not been clear and take that to God. Have we been the blind leading the blind? Soon, we will partake in the Lord's Supper and celebrate the redemption that comes through our belief in Jesus. Hopefully, today's lesson will enable us to rid ourselves of some of our anger and some of our baggage so that we can travel lighter without that log of wood in our eyes. Why, we might even find a way to join the dance. Your comments.